Hello, friends. Make a good playlist and settle in for a listen. You're listening to Blame It on Buffett.
Well, I sailed from Lauderdale down to Key Largo. Crossed the Gulf on a fast sloop, and I sailed the Abacos. As a kid, I read Contiki, and now all the pirate books too. There's just so many places on my list to see. I'm going crazy just trying to choose.
Welcome back to Blame It on Buffett. Once again, it's another episode, trying to keep them coming to you weekly for the most part these days. So hopefully that's good to have that back a little more frequent. It's fun for me to get to talk to people, and yeah, I'm going to try and keep it going. So I don't have a lot of things to say today, except that I really wanted to say a big thank you to my supporters on Anchor, if you've hit that support button. I posted a video on my social media, so you can go watch it if you haven't. I did buy a new mic using partly listener support. So I've kind of been hoarding it up and then used it to buy a pretty cool mic, which I can use as a USB mic when I record at home. But also it has battery and internal memory, so I can use it on the go if I ever get to do, in-person interviews again. So I'm pretty excited about that. It's a Tula mic. It's really cool. I did some basic tests, but I haven't really had time to get the whole everything set up. So I'm not using it right this minute yet, but I will try to be using it for episodes in the future. And yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. It's really cute too. I'm all about aesthetics, so I love that it looks real pretty. It's seafoam green and kind of old-fashioned looking, so I'm really into it. So yeah, I just wanted to say thank you so much to everyone. Your money is not being wasted. It is being used to buy things for the podcast, to make the podcast better. And if you are not a supporter and you'd like to be, you can go to my page on Anchor, which will be a link. There'll be a link. And or you can just go to Anchor and search for Blame It on Buffett in their podcast section. Yeah, and there's a button. It just says support. You click it, and then it's kind of like Patreon. It's a sort of monthly donation. But if you just want to do one time, you can just cancel or whatever. But yeah, it's the minimum, or the lowest amount is 99 cents. So you can just do 99 cents a month. And yeah, I really appreciate that. Once again, I really appreciate anyone who listens, like no pressure or obligation to do that at all. But I just wanted to make sure I was giving those people a shout out, because I did finally use your money to buy something concrete really to upgrade the podcast. So I'm pretty excited about it. I hope you're excited about it. And I'm also excited about this episode because, as you'll hear, my guest is Lee Adams, and he is a brand new Jimmy Buffett fan. It's so exciting to learn that new people are still discovering Jimmy Buffett all the time and growing to love him. So yeah, let's get right into the interview. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week, Blame It on Buffett. I have a really cool guest on that I'm excited about. His name is Lee Adams, and I wanted to bring him on because he sent me his sort of Buffett song story on Instagram, which is a thing I did a while back for a while, and it was really interesting and cool, but also it was very, like, kind of long and complex. So I was like, well, why don't you just come on the podcast to talk about it yourself? So he generously agreed to be on. And Lee, thanks so much for being here.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I've sort of said this before, but, you know, it's really interesting to hear from someone that is like a really new Jimmy Buffett fan, because most of the people that I, you know who like Jimmy Buffett or like I'm friends with from the Parrothead Club or whatever have all been Jimmy Buffett fans for a really long time. And it seems like a lot of the fan base is like, you've either been a Jimmy Buffett fan for a really long time, or you're not really, like, you don't really care about Jimmy Buffett that much. So it's really cool to meet someone. And you sent me your story and said that you had just sort of started getting into Jimmy Buffett this last year. Do you want to go ahead and just sort of tell a little bit of that story that you sent me, and then we can kind of talk about the different parts of it?
I'll start off by saying that, it really hasn't even hit a full year yet that I've considered myself, you know, a Jimmy Buffett fan. That really started on July 4th weekend of last year. But if I back up way before that, you know, I was aware of his name and a few of his songs. I recall as a kid, my mom telling me that she saw him in concert. I believe it was the Fruitcakes tour. I remember hearing that. And then I worked in a music store when I was in high school. So I used to see his albums come through every once in a while. And I came close to seeing him in concert right after I graduated high school. So maybe I would have, been a fan from long ago, but it didn't work out. A friend of mine, him and his parents were going to go and had an extra ticket. And I was like, I'll go with you. And then the weather ended up being bad, so they didn't go. And that was around like 03, 04. And here we are in 2021 and I'm an actual fan now. So it just, if I think back, maybe if I would have seen him in concert back then, would I have been a fan all these years? I just don't know. But I'm definitely glad that I'm a fan now.
Yeah, it seems like, I guess you never know the circumstances, right? And the concerts are a whole different thing, you know? So maybe if you'd gone to that at that point, you would have been like, oh, I don't know about this. But also, yeah. I think people who are prone to liking Jimmy's music are probably going to like it once they start listening to it at all, you know?
Yeah.
So who knows? But at least you found it now.
Yeah. To continue this story and, really get into the one that I had messaged you, July 4th weekend of last summer, I was actually up in North Georgia with my family and in-laws and, a lot of folks on my wife's side of the family. And it was just a lot of people at the house. And I was like, I just need to kind of just get away for a few minutes. I went on the back porch and there's a river that there's a view of. It's the Toccoa River up in Blue Ridge, Georgia. And so I grabbed myself a drink and, opened up Spotify on my phone and just hit shuffle. And the song Cheeseburger in Paradise came on. And one of my daughters really likes that song. And I was like, there's got to be more to Jimmy Buffett than that I know. Just, a handful of songs. So I looked him up and just put it on shuffle and just let it play through a bunch of his songs. And I don't know how much time went by, but there was a long time there where nobody was bothering me. And so I ended up liking all of these songs in Spotify of his. And got done with that, and I went to the garage where there was a dartboard, and I continued to listening to Jimmy while I was throwing darts, and nobody was still bothering me. And then finally a couple folks came in to play darts with me, and I continued playing Jimmy's music, and nobody complained. So I was like, I really like this. And after that, it was just – I was – listening to him a lot on Spotify, most time on shuffle. If a song came up that I really liked, I would like it. And then shortly after that, the fall virtual tour started. And I was like, this is going to be pretty cool. And the first one started on Labor Day weekend. And I just happened to be at the same house during that weekend up in Blue Ridge, Georgia. And so ended up hooking up a computer to the TV. And that first show from that fall tour was from 1999. And as I'm watching that, I think that may have been when I actually became a fan, because I mean, I was enjoying listening to his music, but when I was watching that, it kind of just took me back to 1999, when I was really getting into going to concerts. I went to my first concert, which was the Allman Brothers Band, on that same weekend in 1999, Labor Day weekend. And it just kind of like brought me back a little bit, you know, that feeling of nostalgia, thinking about like I was 15 at the time, and just, you know, what the world was like, how I viewed the world back then. And I was like, this is a good feeling. I like it. Continued watching the virtual tour shows and, you know, listening to his music on Spotify more and more. And then that's when I heard the song Prince of Tides, which is what I messaged you about. Mm-hmm. And I still remember I was driving around in my truck, and all of a sudden, you know, the song came on, and I was like, hold on, he's, you know, Prince of Tides, that's a Pat Conroy book. And Pat Conroy is my favorite author of all time. And so I went back to the beginning of the song, and I realized that Jimmy was actually reading from the book. And I was like, all right, this is pretty cool, because I don't think of anybody that really does that, like reads passages from a book, especially one that I'm very familiar with. And then I started listening to the lyrics, and he's talking about Dufusky Island. And there's a memoir that Pat Conroy wrote that's titled The Water is Wide, that's about his time on Dufusky Island. He was a teacher there. And in the book, he calls it Yamacraw Island. But that book is what influenced me to become a teacher. I'm a high school English teacher, just like Pat Conroy used to be before he became, you know, a famous writer. So I started thinking like how all these things that I'm interested in just kind of started coming together, like the connections as I get older, they're starting to make more sense to me. And it was around that same time period I started getting into, really interested in the life and work of Ernest Hemingway. And if you read anything about him, Key West always gets brought up, and being interested in Jimmy Buffett, you know, looking into his life story a little bit. Obviously, you know, Key West is a big part of that. And so, you know, that geographical connection starts coming into play. And so I started thinking about all of that and made the decision with my family that this summer we're going to take a trip to Florida. And part of that trip is going to Key West and just kind of, you know, seeing what it's about.
That's so cool. So did you, like, was Key West a thing on your radar much before you sort of found these connections and kind of got into Jimmy Buffett? Or like, is that a place you like would have wanted to visit before? Or is it kind of purely because of sort of this whole thing that happened?
It really came about because of these connections with music and these different writers and so forth. I mean, I had heard of the Florida Keys and Key West, but I never really considered going, which is interesting because I've been into going to the beach or being in coastal towns for quite a while. I was in the Navy for about 5 years, and prior to that, I didn't really know that the coastal lifestyle fit me, but when I got in the Navy, there was always a beach nearby, and it just seemed to fit me. I don't live near a beach right now, but anytime we we get out of town, there's pretty much always a beach nearby.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I think that definitely is true of most people that like Jimmy Buffett, right? Like if you, not that everyone that loves going to the beach and, you know, loves that kind of escape will automatically like Jimmy Buffett. But I think pretty much most everyone that likes Jimmy Buffett likes that kind of, you know, vacation. It's kind of goes hand in hand. But it's also interesting that you're a high school English teacher because one of the other podcast, Jimmy Buffett podcasts, Under 40 Victims of Fate, one of the hosts of that, Adam, is also an English teacher. He's a little bit younger, but he also sort of got into Jimmy Buffett a little more recently than some of us, partly just because he's a little younger, but and I think there's also part of it is that sort of literary connection, and I think that's a really interesting thing because definitely Jimmy Buffett is a very literary person. I mean, he's, you know, a big reader. He writes books. He, like you've said, he references different books a lot, both in his music and in his own writing. And so I think that's an interesting sort of way into the Jimmy Buffett world that maybe people don't think about as much. You know, usually it's like, oh, well, you like the beach or you like this kind of music generally or whatever. But maybe even like if you're wanting to sort of get people started, so to speak, on Jimmy Buffett, you know, maybe even having them read some of his stuff before, if that's, you know, a thing that they're into, you know, before being like, okay, well, you can listen to these albums, but maybe like try reading, you know, Pirate Looks at 50, because I think hearing him tell even more of those real life stories, it makes it like, it really brings a depth to the music that I think a lot of other artists don't have. I mean, I know you've said you've made, you know, specific connections, but like just listening to the music generally, do you feel like that sort of depth of storytelling is part of what draws you in as well?
I really do. I've been thinking about this lately as I continue to listen to his music. It's like every song is telling some sort of story. And that's what I feel like makes his songs great. I mean, if you sit there and listen to his music, it's like, okay, I mean, I'm interested because I'm listening to a story, you know, chorus, you know, a catchy chorus aside, you know, if you can just listen to a song and it's pulling you in, just because the lyrics are, you know, kind of following a, you know, storyline or plot line, that you can follow along with. I mean, that's something that not many songwriters, singer-songwriters, artists, whoever happens to be, that there's a lot of folks that they don't do that well. But yeah, that's definitely part of the appeal, is the fact that he tells stories with his songs.
Yeah, and it definitely, not that there, you know, can't be good songs that don't have as much of a deep story, but I think for a lot of us as well, that's what draws us to, like, maybe at first you listen and you're like, oh, this is catchy and he's singing about the beach, you know, and maybe that's like what draws some people in to start with. And I mean, it certainly is a big part, like the sort of escapism thing is definitely a big part of it. But I think kind of what makes people get really into it, especially, you know, going back and listening to a lot of the older albums and, you know, really catching up either for people who have listened to him for a long time and maybe just haven't listened to the older stuff as much or in a while. I know a couple people recently that have said, like, you know, I really have started getting back into Jimmy Buffett in a way by going back and listening to a lot of his older albums. And I think that sort of storytelling element is what kind of brings, like elevates that for people. And once they go in, like they might get hooked on, like even Margaritaville, right? Like if you, especially if you go to a show, like it's a fun song. And although the origins of that song are not, like it's turned into something a lot different than like what that original story was, which is a very interesting thing as well. But but you know, you might get hooked on that. But like then going in and like really listening to the music and listening to the stories, I think is kind of like what gets people, like really makes people a fan, right? Rather than like you said, it's like, oh, I can just like, I listen to the music and I listen to some of it, but then like once I sort of really listen to a lot of it, you watch the show, right? And really connected with like some of that older stuff. Like that's kind of what cements that fandom, I think, for a lot of people. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that, you know, I mean, I'm aware of how he tells a story through a song, but I haven't really read his work yet. I've read, you know, Pirate Looks at 50, but as far as his works of fiction, I own three of them, but I haven't got around to reading them yet. My to be read pile just seems to grow all of the time.
I know that feeling.
I was aware of these titles, and I just happened to be in a used bookstore a few weeks ago and got lucky and found three of them. The only one I wasn't able to get that they didn't have is Tales from Margaritaville and the children's books that he wrote with his daughter. I have two daughters, so I plan on picking those up at some point, you know, for my kids. And just seeing how he's able to write a work of fiction, I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, well, I hope you enjoy it. I mean, I think you can probably get a pretty good sense of, you know, what kind of writer he is from his sort of, I guess it's kind of an autobiography, The Pirate Looks at 50. And it's almost, I think sometimes people are surprised, maybe not like really big fans, because like, I think if you really listen closely to his music, you can tell that he's a good writer. But I think sometimes when people read his books, they're like surprised at like how eloquent and intelligent of a writer he is, just because I guess like you can be an amazing songwriter, but that doesn't always translate to actually writing, you know, a larger, you know, book or whatever it may be. So you can probably get an idea from Pirate Looks at 50. But yeah, his fiction is really fun too. And he still brings in those outside references, you know, like there's Twain references and there's all these literary references even within his fictional books, which I think for people who, I mean, I think you can still enjoy it, obviously, if you don't like sort of know some of those references, but I think especially for people who are, you know, more like readers and just know some of these other authors, that's kind of a fun little like Easter egg there, especially once you sort of know the authors that he really relates to and writes, includes in his songs and things. And you'll sort of see that picked up in his fiction as well. So yeah, that's a fun thing to look forward to. I hope you enjoy those once you read them.
I think I will. I mean, just from watching videos of interviews with him and, you know, different songs and then the Songs You Don't Know By Heart series and all that. And just seeing him, you know, talk about, you know, how much of an impact literature had on his life. You know, he mentions, well, I mean, the song Love in the Library is a great example. And then there's a video, maybe you've seen this, it's on YouTube, where he was in Paris at the American Library in Paris, and basically he sits for an interview and then he plays a few songs for the people in his library. And I was like, this is really cool.
I don't know if I have seen that one. I'll have to go. If I do, I don't remember it that well. I'll have to go find it and check it out for sure.
I mean, it's a nice watch. I think it's about an hour long, but I mean, it's well worth it.
Yeah. It's funny because so I've always loved that song, Love in the Library. I don't know, since I was a kid, but it's funny because I'm not anymore, but for a while I was a librarian as my career. So then it sort of had like extra meaning, right? Like anything to do with libraries now is like kind of especially close to my heart. So that just added sort of an extra layer of, I don't know, like just fun for that, of that song for me. But yeah, the whole album is really great. And that you said that was the show that you saw, right? The first one when you saw on TV?
Fruitcake? The first, you're talking about the virtual tour?
Or? Yeah.
No, the first virtual tour I saw was from 99. It was from Massachusetts or something. Like, I can't remember. But the one I'm talking about, it wasn't even like a tour stop or anything. I'm not sure exactly how it came to be or what the event was or why he was doing it. But I think I was watching – I know I was watching a video of him on YouTube, and then it was on the side, like, suggested videos. And I ended up watching it.
Well, he does do a show in Paris every year.
Yeah, this wasn't a – I mean, this was just him and then I assume a librarian at that at that library. They were talking, and there was a small crowd, and he had he was drinking red wine and had his acoustic guitar, and – it was just him playing acoustic. Yeah. He didn't have anybody backing him up.
That's so cool. I mean, I think that's like the dream now, like for people to see, you know, like he doesn't really do things like that much anymore, but like to see him in that kind of context would be really amazing for sure.
I think maybe, I mean, not that he would do like a full blown acoustic tour, but maybe, you know, with the success of, you know, Songs You Don't Know by Heart, and maybe he'll put more of that into, you know, his set list whenever, you know, the tour resumes. That would be pretty neat to see.
Yeah, I certainly hope so. Definitely, I think it's likely because now he's like relearned some of these songs that he, like, you know, you watched it, so you know, like he, some of them he was like, I haven't played this song in like he doesn't even remember some of those songs because, you know, he like basically had to completely relearn them to even play them for that series. So, but now that he's kind of like brought back some of those and like remembering the stories and stuff, I definitely think it's likely that we'll see at least a couple of them maybe in the next tour, which would be awesome. Or, and like also, like, you never know, maybe he'll just do more of that. Like, we'll just get more of those types of old song videos, which would be really cool too. I know, obviously, like coming into it, you know, having just sort of like really gotten into Jimmy Buffett in the last year, like that's really cool for you to be able to see that right off the bat. But for some of us, those are like songs we've really liked for a long time, but have never been able to see him play, you know, because he just like never played a lot of those older songs. So it was definitely really cool that they did that during quarantine. And it was a great way to sort of, I think, reconnect with some of the fans and kind of just like get people back into that, you know, back into Jimmy and back into that older music. Like I said, I've had a couple people that I know that are like, yeah, I just sort of, you know, started listening to his old stuff again and like really got back into it. So, so it's great to that was kind of a way for old and new fans, I think, to connect with his music.
Yeah, they really found something special by doing that series. I mean, you know, the fact that he was getting to do it with his daughter. So they're working together and just the song choices were great. You know, we mentioned Love in the Library. It's funny to me that you say you used to be a librarian because my wife is a librarian. well, I mean, she's one at a middle school and they don't use the term librarian anymore. Right. We call them media specialists, but anyway, she likes that song as well. So, you know, we were able to watch that video and enjoy it together. And then, Little Miss Magic is another song that just really stands out, from the first time I heard that song, you know, not even a year ago, it just pulled me in because I have two daughters and, I really I listened to it over and over. In fact, when I got my end of the year, whatever they call it on Spotify, where they basically like compile all your, you know, data from the year. That was my number one song for 2020, which says a lot considering that I didn't start listening to that song until July of 2020. And then it gave me some stat. I was in the 0.1% in the world of Jimmy Buffett listeners or something, like some crazy number. I was like, all right, well, I've been listening to a lot of Jimmy Buffett.
I think I got something like that too, but also, you know, I didn't just start listening to him like partway through the years. So that's really impressive on your end. But yeah, I think, you know, you hear that from people a lot, that Little Miss Magic, like when you have kids, especially, you know, if it's dads and daughters, you know, like, oh, that was the song we played, like the daddy daughter dance song at my daughter's wedding, or, you know, that really connects with me. And I think that's one of the other things that really makes, if people like give it a chance and like listen to more songs than just, you know, Margaritaville or Cheeseburger in Paradise, I think that's like one of the things that sort of gets people on board and becoming a Jimmy Buffett fan, is like those making those connections. And he has a lot of songs that I think people just really connect with on a personal level. And part of that is because he's sort of telling stories, you know, from his life and writing things that are really meaningful to him. It connects with other people, but definitely things like that song, you know, you just hear how much those mean to people. And I think that really also is a good indicator of like his writing and storytelling, that it connects with people on such a deep level like that.
The fact that he is able to basically do a summer tour and be really successful with that, and, you know, not really have, I guess you could say, a big support from radio or anything like that, and, you know, pull in these tens of thousands of people at his shows, you know, there's something special there about his music and his lyrics that, you know, people can connect to. And, you know, I watch the videos from these virtual tours and I see, you know, people are having a good time, and there's, you know, the more well-known songs that people may be familiar with, you know, from the radio or whatever. But I think there's much more going on there. I mean, if there wasn't, he wouldn't be able to, I don't think he would be able to do what he does every year.
Yeah.
Without those connections.
Yeah, for sure. I think also it's interesting that you said that, you know, you did sort of like, you had been listening, but like you connected, like really connected once you watched the, you know, virtual tour show. And I think there's sort of like two elements to Jimmy's, what he does. One is like the sort of deeper storytelling, you know, you get in there, you're really listening to music, listening to the words, but then also like he really is an entertainer, right? And so he, if you go to, like, I think like chances are if you had gone to that show originally, like you would have been on board, because I think it's kind of hard, even if you don't like Jimmy Buffett, or like even if you don't, I shouldn't say like don't like, but even if you're, you know, don't really care, I think it's like would be really hard to go to a Jimmy Buffett show and not just have a good time, because just the energy, you know, everyone there is like having a great time, and it's just a really fun energy, and he's like a really great showman and entertainer. So I think it is kind of a double pronged approach, right, to getting fans. I mean, not that he's like doing it intentionally to get fans, but I think that like there are people that connect more, you know, to the sort of deeper meaning and the lyrics of the music. There are people that connect more to going to the shows and having a good time. But I think for most fans, like it's a combination of both of those things. Mm-hmm. Do you, I mean, I know like he doesn't have any concerts scheduled really anytime soon right now, but like, do you like hope to go to a show in the future?
Yeah, that's the plan. I had tickets for the April 24th show up in Charlotte, North Carolina, and then they recently said that they were pushing that show to April 30th of next year. And, you know, I could request a refund or keep the tickets. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to hold on to them. That way I can look forward to going to that show next April. And, I don't think that I'll be able to see him this year. I know he's got some things that are scheduled later on in the year, like in December, and I think there's some things still scheduled for July, but I don't foresee myself being able to make it to any of those.
I mean, the chances that the July stuff is going to I mean, who knows, you know, that stuff might get canceled or pushed back too. So at this point, it's just kind of based on like how things go.
I'm definitely going to go see him. And hopefully I can see him, you know, many more times over the, you know, next few years or whatever. You know, even though I've never seen Jimmy live, I have seen Greg Fingers Taylor live.
Oh, wow.
Many years ago at a music festival. I think I was around, I was about 17 years old, and there was this roadhouse place pretty close to where I grew up. And every fall they would do a blues music festival. And I actually volunteered to work there. So I was actually working at the festival, and I remember looking at the poster for it, and it said, you know, Greg Fingers Taylor. And then in parentheses, it said something like original Coral Reefer band member. And of course, at the time, like, that didn't really mean anything to me. I recall meeting him, and he signed the backstage pass I had. And it's probably like in my closet somewhere now. And to think if that could happen now, like how much more it would mean to me. And of course, back then, being the 17-year-old punk that I was, like, I didn't really think about it. I was like, okay, whatever. He plays the harmonica really well. I enjoyed his set. This was pretty cool. And, you know, I met him, but, you know, now it would mean a whole lot more.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess like at least you have the memory to look back on, right? Like, like you can't, you know, the meeting didn't happen now, but it did happen in your life. So you still have that you can remember, and it can still mean a lot more now, you know, than it did then, now that you're more like understand like the context of that for Jimmy Buffett related. And I mean, and he also is just an awesome musician. So,
Were
you going to take the fam to the concert, or just your wife? Like, were you going to take the kids?
No, just my wife. You know, we live about 45 minutes or so north of Atlanta. So Charlotte would be, I think, about a 3-hour drive from here. And we were just going to take the day to go up there, enjoy the show, and come back the next day. My kids, one is about to turn 8, the other's 2. So maybe, you know, they're little. Yeah. But the 8-year-old, every once in a while, she'll sit down and watch, you know, part of one of the virtual shows with us. Never fails. Whenever Volcano comes on, she'll get up in front of the TV and she'll do this dance along with the song.
That sounds like I can relate to that, because I started, you know, I grew up with Jimmy Buffett. So like, I definitely have memories of dancing around my living room, you know, with Jimmy Buffett on the stereo, like when I was probably, I mean, I don't really know how far back I remember, probably not too far, but you know, when I was probably that age to start, at least. So, that's, you got to get them started young, and then, then they'll become Jimmy Buffett fans.
You know, and I mean, not only fans of Jimmy Buffett, but just, you know, fans of quality music in general. I've mentioned Spotify quite a few times talking to you today, and for both of my girls, I've created playlists. Well, I didn't really create the playlist. They're kind of creating it themselves. They're just, the name is, the playlist name is, you know, attached to their name. And the songs that are on there are songs that they like. Every now and then I'll put a song on there I think like maybe they'll like. And so just kind of, I don't know, getting them exposed to good quality music. You know, not just something that will be, you know, hot at the moment that it happens to be hot in. Like, you know, the music that they grow up with is, you know, even today, there's not much new music that I'm a fan of. So I want them to hear things that, I really enjoy. And if they like it, great. You know, the earlier, the better.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really cool that it's just kind of their own. They get their own playlist, and when they like a song, they can add, you know, you can add it to that. It definitely, I mean, Jimmy Buffett was, excuse me, kind of the main, one of the obviously biggest ones, but also a lot of the music that I loved growing up and still do are, you know, musicians that like my parents just had CDs for, and we just listened to music at our house, you know? So it's like Billy Joel and Paul Simon, like Simon and Garfunkel, and, you know, James Taylor, like Carole King, like all of those kind of era of musicians that my parents were really into. Like, I still really love all of them today. And it's partly because it's not that I don't like new music. It's just that I'm really bad at going out of my way to like listen to new things, you know, or like find new artists, because I'm always just like, well, I could do that, but also I could listen to the like 10 artists I already know that I love.
Yeah, it could be a challenge.
It's partly my fault, but like, it's kind of like, I need someone to make playlists for me now of like current music. So like, you're kind of doing the reverse thing where like they might be likely to hear more current stuff like on the, you know, internet, or like if their friends are listening to it or whatever. But you're kind of doing like reverse engineering that, where you're kind of building them like, oh, you should listen to these, you could try listening to these older, you know, musicians. And so that's a cool thing. And also, like, if they do end up liking those, like, that's a fun thing to bond over, you know. Like, I always say, like, I never went through a period where I was like, oh, this is my parents' music, so I don't like it. Like, I've always loved Jimmy Buffett. And so that's just like a thing my parents and I have always had in common, you know? And a couple of the shows that I've been to with them. Even, I think, when I was in either just end of high school or maybe like beginning of college. So, you know, even during a time where I was like a, you know, bratty teenager, I was like still willing to go to a Jimmy Buffett concert with my parents, you know, which I think says a lot about that. Well, maybe music in general, but especially Jimmy Buffett for me as like a bonding thing with my parents and I. So, so yeah, that's kind of a cool thing that maybe like you and your kids can bond over and have that in common.
Well, maybe they'll, you know, as they get older, maybe they'll, you know, expose me to some artists that I'm not familiar with.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe I'll become a fan of, who knows?
Yeah, but, well, tell me. Message me like, hey, my kid says this is cool.
Well, you know, I like Spotify. For years, I was, I guess you'd say, like, anti-streaming. And I finally realized, like, how much money I was spending every month on physical forms of music, like CDs and vinyl. And I was like, I just can't keep doing this. So went the streaming route. And, you know, one good thing about it is they do make some pretty good recommendations, you know, as far as, you know, exposing me to different artists or even podcasts. I mean, that's really how I stumbled upon yours. I had listened to the Classic Buffett podcast, you know, just like two or three times. And then on the homepage in Spotify, it said something like, I think it was something like shows you might be interested in. And Blame It on Buffett was on there.
Oh, that's really interesting to know that their algorithm knows that I'm there.
Hey, well. Yeah, I don't understand exactly how all that works, but, you know, it worked. So here we are.
Yeah, I think the thing about Spotify, too, is, you know, it is really useful for like trying things out and listening to things. And then like, if you find an artist that you want to support more, because like, you know, I don't think like they get a ton of money from when you play their music on Spotify. But, you know, once you find a musician that you like, you then know that you really like their music. And so you feel more confident being like, okay, well, now I know that I like this musician. So I'm going to buy their album because I want to have it, or like, I want to have it on vinyl, or, you know, whatever the thing is. And I think that it helps in that it sort of takes, like, you don't have to buy something before you know you like it, but you can still make that choice to maybe support the artist financially a little more by still buying their album. Like, I still buy CDs of musicians I really like, even though I can listen to it on Spotify for the most part. But I think that it's nice to have that as an option to try things out and discover. And like you said, like, really, it's really useful for like discovering new music and or whatever the thing is. I listen to, like, I get easily distracted. So during, like, when I'm working, I usually just listen to like instrumental, or like, I can't listen to Jimmy Buffett cause I'll just be like singing along to the songs and not paying attention to what I'm supposed to be doing. But even for that, it's really great. Like, oh, we have this new like instrumental playlist that the other thing I really love about Spotify is like their playlist that they make.
Yeah.
You know, they have like a Coastal Americana playlist that, like, there's some Jimmy Buffett on there, but there's a bunch of other trap rock and Coastal Americana artists. And that's like a really fun way to discover new music too, is to just like listen to those Spotify created playlists. And then you can kind of be like, oh, I really liked this song. Who was that? And then sort of follow that rabbit hole down to find the musicians that you really like.
I think I'll have to look that one up. I haven't heard of that one, Coastal Americana.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it's called. That's kind of like, once you sort of get more, like, once you're into like Jimmy Buffett, like, if you sort of join some of the groups and stuff, you start to see, mm-hmm. like, there's this whole other genre that's sort of generally known as trap rock, but also Coastal Americana is basically kind of the same thing. Okay. Of all these other musicians that kind of have either a very sort of tropical style, which, you know, really falls in line with when it's called trop rock. But also some of them just kind of end up in this group and genre because of more of the songwriting aspect, which we've talked about. So yeah, there's a lot of crossover there between like a lot of Jimmy Buffett fans also like a lot of these other trop rock musicians and stuff. So I'm pretty sure the Spotify playlist, like the Spotify created one, is called Coastal Americana. And it has a bunch of, and it has like more popular, like it has Jimmy Buffett. I think it has like probably has Kenny Chesney, like it has bigger artists too. But I think it also has like some of the smaller musicians as well.
I have to look that up. I'm not very familiar with the trop rock genre. I mean, I know a little bit about it, basically from the Parrotheads documentary. I watched that a few weeks back, and just seeing that there was, it's kind of like this whole other I don't know how you would put this, like this whole other fandom out there. And you know, there's artists that are in this genre that are able to benefit from that, which is a great thing.
Yeah. And it's kind of, I mean, it's not, there's no obligation, right? Like, I know people that love Jimmy Buffett that aren't really that into trap rock, and I know people that really like the trap rock musicians that maybe don't even care about Jimmy Buffett that much. But yeah. I think generally speaking, there's a decent amount of crossover where people, like for me, I joined the Parrothead Club because I love Jimmy Buffett. And then because I was in the Parrot Club, I ended up being introduced to all these other musicians that come and play at events and house concerts and all that. So there's certainly no obligation, especially if you're like really new to Jimmy Buffett. There's plenty of Jimmy Buffett stuff to just, you know, spend a lot of time on. But yeah, if you are looking for other musicians that are kind of in that inspired by Jimmy Buffett in some ways genre, then those kinds of playlists are a good way to find that. But yeah, there's definitely, as a new Jimmy Buffett artist, there's a lot of Jimmy Buffett to listen to. So
yeah, I am still shocked by how much material he's put out over the years. You know, studio and live, I actually really enjoy live albums. you know, live music, I would say is one of my things. Like, that's what I like doing. So like the past year has been hard not being able to go to a concert. I have gone to a few little singer songwriter things, but, just to be able to go to a concert just because you want to,
yeah, definitely.
You know, and you've got tickets for a while. It's, you know, the past year has been tough with that. So, you know, listening to a live album or watching an older recorded show on a virtual tour, whatever it happens to be, that's helping out.
Yeah. And actually that is one of the cool things about, you know, like we mentioned, you're probably never going to go to like a really small intimate show with Jimmy Buffett at this point.
No.
But a lot of these musicians, like they do like play the sort of house concert, shows, which is a really cool way to see musicians. And honestly, like, I think that's kind of how I got into it. Like, I don't know if just listening to the music necessarily, I would have like really jumped in, as much, because I do really like to listen to Jimmy Buffett. But like the way that I really got into it was I ended up going to house concerts because friends from the Parrothead Club would be like hosting them at their house. And when you're actually there in that like intimate setting with, you know, just like maybe 20, 30 people, and the musician is playing like in someone's yard, mm-hmm. and you like get to talk to the musician and you like become friends with them, like it's kind of hard not to then love it, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of a fun way. And those also haven't really been happening this year, because it's, you know, a bunch of people in someone's living room. So it's like not the best idea. But yeah, like definitely if you like live music, that if you were ever interested in, you know, listening to some of that, like going to sort of the regional events where you get to hear them play, or if there are house concerts in, you know, anywhere near you, is just a fun way to do it that you don't really get to experience most musicians, right? Like that, because like most musicians are going to play at a concert venue. And even if it's like a small venue, it's still like they're up on the stage, you're in the audience, you don't like get to talk to them for like half an hour after the show or whatever necessarily. So it's a cool way to experience music. I was going to ask, you mentioned like how you're going to be taking a trip to Key West. Would highly, especially like, well, I don't know if your family is like a animal people, but the Hemingway house is literally my favorite thing in Key West.
Well, that's, that's definitely on the list. We're only going to be there for 2 nights. But we're going to fit in as much as we can. And the Hemingway house is one of the things we're going
to
do.
Yeah. That's like one of my favorite things. Like the tour is really cool. Like getting to hear them tell the whole history, of the house and of Hemingway. And then also just getting to see like the house, you know, is all historic and all the old furniture stuff is still in there. And then the cats, there's so many cats and I love cats. So I, sometimes when I go to Key West, for Meeting of the Minds, which is like the big Parrothead event. Sometime, like the last time I went there several times on my trip just to like get a break. It's like so quiet and peaceful in the gardens and you can just like pet the cats. It's like so relaxing. So that's, that's like one of the things I would recommend to do for sure.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to do that. Then, I think on the way there, there's a, you know, you mentioned animals. There's a turtle hospital.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to check that out.
Cool. There's also the Dolphin Research Center.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I remember seeing something.
I haven't been there, but I know they do some cool stuff there, too. So, that'll be fun. I mean, I guess, like, if you have kids, you're probably not going to be, like, hanging out in a lot of bars or whatever, but there's definitely a lot of Jimmy Buffett related stops. You can even just like walk by and be like, oh, there's Captain Tony's and there's the chart room, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I want to see, you know, those places. Definitely Captain Tony's. I mean, like I love the song Last Mango in Paris. So I feel like I have to, you know, maybe just tell my family to hold on for a minute and like go in. just you know, say I've been in there, you know.
Just be like, you guys hang out and pet the cats at Hemingway House for another like half hour.
Yeah.
I'll go to Captain Tony's, like have one drink and then we'll meet up.
So I don't know. I'll find some way to at least see it. I know that.
Yeah, that's cool. This is not to put you on the spot. It's okay if you don't, but like, since you started, I know you said you mostly listen to like Spotify on shuffle and that kind of thing. Do you feel like there's a specific album or couple of albums that you gravitate toward more? Or is it really just, I also listen to a lot of playlists and stuff. So sometimes I can't even remember which songs are on which albums, like for the older albums, but, you know, is there like one that stands out to you?
I was actually looking at his albums earlier and like just looking at how many songs I, you know, liked or saved from different albums. And I noticed that on A1A and Changes in Latitudes, on both of those, I have, I think 6 songs on each of those, saved. So if, I don't know. Like,
I mean, those are both great.
Yeah.
Those are great choices.
It's hard for me to pick like a definite album because he's got so many different songs that I like throughout his whole career.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, even his newer stuff like Tides from Saint Somewhere is a great song. So I mean, that would be an example of a newer song. So I try to tell folks every once in a while when I talk to them about Jimmy Buffett, like it, there's much more than just Margaritaville or Cheeseburger in Paradise. Like he's still writing and recording great music.
Yeah. I love that. Like, I think most people who are newer fans, I don't know. I might just be generalizing here. But I think most people who are newer fans, it was like because somebody was like, hey, you know, he has all these other songs. Like maybe you should try listening to this and this. But what I love about your story is that you just like did that on your own. You're just like, oh, there's some stuff here. Like maybe I should listen to this. And then you listened to it and then you liked it. So you listened to more. And I think that's really cool because it shows that like that's a thing that can happen. Right. And I think, you know, we sometimes feel like, oh, like we need to try and introduce people to this, but like there are people out there just finding it on their own and like starting to love Jimmy Buffett without any help from us. So that's heartening.
Well, you know, it's, you know, a lot of it has to do with your mindset. I feel fortunate that when it comes to music, I have such an open mind. And I really, when I think about it, I can thank the Allman Brothers Band for that. That's my favorite band of all time. But just being into their music and studying their biography and their influences really kind of opened me up to a lot of other artists. But also, it, you know, made me a music fan where it's like I will give pretty much anyone a listen. And, you know, I have that band to thank for that.
Yeah, that's really cool. I also, the fact that, you know, when you do just sort of put his whole catalog on shuffle, you are likely to listen to a lot of the newer stuff just as much as the older stuff, which I think even like long time Jimmy Buffett fans, sometimes we fall into, I guess I'll just speak for myself. Sometimes I fall into the trap of like just listening to the older stuff because that's just the stuff I know better. And I'm like nostalgic for that. Right. And so even like when new albums come out, I still buy them. I still listen to them, but I maybe don't give them as much of a chance, like as many listens because I'm sort of drawn back to the stuff that I know really well. And I feel like just putting his whole catalog on shuffle is actually a really great way to sort of just get yourself to listen to the new stuff more, because it's more just that, like, because I haven't heard it as much, I don't know it as well. And therefore, like, it's, you know, more appealing to listen to the songs I know really well. But if I just put everything on shuffle, then I'll end up listening to those newer songs more and more. And I think, like, some of them will probably definitely rise up the ranks in terms of songs that I love. So, So I'm glad that you said that, because I think that I could, I feel like how I got into like older Jimmy Buffett was by listening to live albums. Cause like growing up, I listened to the albums that came out as I was growing up. So like, those are all really nostalgic for me. Then I got into older Jimmy Buffett by listening to live albums, and I'd be like, oh, I really like that song. And that's on the older albums. So then I would go back and listen to the older albums. And this was all like a long time ago. Yeah. So like now I sort of tend to be like, oh, I want to listen to this album or this album. But I feel like maybe I should go back to just like putting everything on, you know, random and getting more of those getting more of that new stuff in there. Because I'm less likely to just put on a newer album straight through like I do with older albums. But that's a really great way to like end up sort of listening to more of the new stuff, like mixed in with the old stuff. So,
yeah. Hey, I mean, that's pretty much how that is how I got into his music, by just being exposed to his whole career, you know, by just hitting shuffle and, you know, his older stuff from the 70s and early 80s. I like that stuff just as much as, you know, a few songs from Life on the Flip Side. You know, Slow Lane is great. Slack Tide is great. I hope that he continues to, you know, put out brand new albums. And
yeah, it's amazing, you know, that he has still put out albums as regularly for as long as he has. And I mean, there was a while where it was like a lot of sort of live albums and stuff, but still, like, new albums. Like, he could have stopped a long time ago and we would all still love him and like still, you know, but he does it because he really loves it. And like, he, you know, is a, like, when you're a musician like that, you just want to make music. So.
Well, and the thing about his, you know, live shows, live albums, and you know, just playing live, I mean, he also plays great cover songs, and you know, that right there, we may not know what that song is and ended up liking it, and, you know, check out the original version and like it, and maybe listen to some other things from the artist that originally recorded it. So as far as his covers go, I think he does a really good job of choosing covers as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. When I was a kid, there's a lot of songs that I like didn't know weren't Jimmy Buffett songs until I like became an adult, because they were like on a Jimmy Buffett album, and like I didn't know any better. I was just like, oh, well, this is a Jimmy Buffett song. I had never heard it before. And then I was like, oh, that's a cover.
Yeah.
Didn't know, you know? But I mean, like, now, obviously, like, I know more, but like as a kid growing up, I just was like, oh, this is a Jimmy Buffett song because it's on a Jimmy Buffett album. Like, I didn't even really understand the concept that like a musician would record another person's song, right, and put it out on their like album that they're releasing. So,
well, you know, a prime example would be, you know, last night's show. He covered, I think it's Harry Nilsson. It's like Everybody's Talking, I think.
Oh yeah, Everybody's Talking. It's a really good song.
Yeah. And, you know, he started playing that. I was like, okay, this is familiar. Like, I've heard this song over the years, but haven't heard it in many years. It's been a while since I'd heard it. And to watch him playing that on the TV, I was like, all right, that's a great song right there.
Yeah, that's really cool. And then, of course, like, Southern Cross is, like, one of the, like, love that song when he plays it. Like, that's one of his... it's like one of the songs he has to play like every time now, kind of like Margaritaville and, you know, Fins and whatever, because people, just like two people, that is a Jimmy Buffett song now, even though, you know, it's
I think his version of it's better than the original. I mean, like, I know there's probably a lot of people that would disagree, but I like his version better.
I mean, clearly a lot of Jimmy Buffett fans really like it, and like they want him to play that at shows and stuff. So it's kind of, I think, become a staple of his live repertoire, even though it's not one of his songs. So
good. Hopefully he'll play it whenever I get to see him, which yeah. I assume will be April of next year.
Hopefully. Yeah. Yeah. And at least, I mean, you have it scheduled. So that's kind of like, my husband and I go to Comic-Con every year in San Diego, and they pushed it back last year, and now they've pushed it back again. So, but mm-hmm. we've just still, it's the same thing. They were like, do you want a refund or do you want to keep your tickets? And we were like, no, we want to keep our tickets. Like, we're going to go to that eventually whenever it happens. So, so I, if I had had tickets to any shows, I would have definitely just held on to them as well. Cause it's nice to have something like that to look forward to, especially right now.
I'm hoping for an Atlanta show. Well, for driving reasons, it would be a lot shorter of a drive, but I just think that it would be neat to see him here, because from what I've read, Atlanta really had a pretty big impact on his career. I can't remember exactly where I read it, where I saw it, but he said that he's played Atlanta more than anywhere else.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
So it had a big impact on his career. Or maybe I have that reverse. Maybe he's played somewhere else more than any others, but Atlanta impacted his career the most. I can see that. Like if he was living in Key West and then is trying to like break out into other markets, Atlanta being the big city that it is, definitely playing the crowds right there. A lot of people pass through Atlanta with the airport. So who knows, maybe people from out of town were able to see him while they're in town.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, you said you're reading that other book right now, right? Or you have read it, the new one?
I think it's Ryan White.
Yeah, Ryan White.
No, I haven't read it yet. No.
I have the worst memory. I feel like I was talking about that with somebody, but
yeah, I do have a copy, but I haven't started reading it yet. It's like I mentioned earlier, my to-be-read pile just continues to grow. I'm actually in school as well, so like my free time to sit down and just like enjoy reading a little bit it's gotta wait right now. But
and I get it, like that, especially that book. I'm like still reading it pretty slowly because it's really dense. Not in a bad way, but like there's a lot of information in there. Like I would definitely say if you have very little time to read and you just want something relaxing, I would go with, you know, like one of Jimmy's fiction books or something, because this is like very heavy with like information. Like sometimes I have to reread paragraphs like a couple times to be like, okay, this person was in this place. Like there's just so much musical history and background about even other musicians, not just Jimmy Buffett, but like related to the area that Jimmy Buffett was in. So it's really interesting, but it's definitely like, if you want to actually absorb all the information, it's definitely a little bit more of like an involved read than just reading like a novel or something.
Okay. I mean, that sounds like something that I would enjoy. Because,
yeah, it's really cool. It's just, there's a lot to absorb for, I guess, is what I.
Well, I mean, I haven't read it yet, but from what you're describing, it sounds like it would give someone like you or me or somebody that considers themselves a fan of Jimmy Buffett a better understanding of maybe why some of his songs sound the way they do, or maybe why he writes in the way that he does, you know, by telling you about his influences and his background and things like that.
Oh yeah. 100%. It's like, it's not just like, oh, here's what Jimmy Buffett did in Key West. It's like, here's all the other things that were going on in Key West when Jimmy Buffett was there. Like here's the other musicians that were playing, and here's, it's just like a lot of really cool context that is like even outside what's directly related to Jimmy, but like you said, would probably be influencing him in those different areas at the times that he was there.
That sounds awesome, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'll just like say
maybe
that for when I'm...
for that one. I don't know.
I can either just ignore the other books that I'm trying to read and go for that one, or this idea just hit me. Maybe I can take it to Florida with me when I'm on that trip.
Yeah.
And just when I can get some time to read, I'll read it while I'm on that trip.
Yeah, it definitely would be a good... vacation read in that sense, because it is something that, like, you, at least for me, maybe I'm just like slow, but I don't like, generally I think I'm a pretty good reader, but this is just like, there's so much like to really try, like if you really want to try and like absorb and remember the stuff, like I think there's just a lot of information in there and it's really interesting. But definitely I would say if you have a chance to really like dedicate time to it and kind of focus on it as opposed to just like a, you know, I don't know, quick fun read or something. That would be the best time to do it for sure.
Okay. Yeah. That's, I think I'll do that. I think I'll probably just save it for that trip. And, cause we're going to be in Florida for almost 2 weeks.
Oh yeah.
Just doing like a big trip. Part of it will be Disney, but you know, there'll be other things, and 2 days in Key West. So there'll be a lot of beach time. So I could see myself breaking that book out on the beach.
Yeah, cool. I also am a big Disney fan, so.
Okay. All right.
That'll be a fun. I've never actually been to Disney World, but I've been to Disneyland a lot of times.
So. See, I've never been there. I've been to Disney World.
I would like to go to Disney World sometime, just to have the different experience. But well, before we go, I want to make sure that we talk about what charity you chose for the donation. So the podcast will make a donation. So do you want to just let us know what charity you picked, and you know, tell us a little bit about why?
Okay. I chose the Alzheimer's Association. My grandparents, my grandpa, he had Alzheimer's, and then my grandmother, she had dementia. And yeah, I just personally feel like there's a lot of research to be done, you know, on those sorts of things. And yeah, I don't think the Alzheimer's Association is the only group that's doing it. Maybe they're the most well known. But you know, I don't buy into the, you know, just because somebody gets older that they start to lose their mind or whatever. I just don't really buy into that. And yeah, it's kind of, not kind of, it is sad when you see somebody getting older and they forget things and people. And, so I would just like to see more research done on that. And, you know, maybe there's a cure out there. Who knows?
Yeah. Thank you so much for picking that. My grandparents had Alzheimer's as well. So, I definitely understand what that is like to have a family member, in that situation. And I think that's a great, organization. So the podcast will make a donation. And I will post the website, in the show notes in case people want to go check. I mean, that's a pretty well-known one, but you know, just in case people want to learn more about it, they can go check that out. And I encourage everyone to you know, at least check it out if you don't know much about what they do, because it is definitely a pretty prominent issue for, I know, tons of people, you know, have had family members that have dealt with it. So thank you so much. I think that's a great one.
You're welcome.
Do you, if people want to, you know, connect with you, like, is it okay if they follow you on Instagram, or like, do you have, like if anyone wanted to reach out and be like, oh, I'm also a new Jimmy Buffett fan and this is so cool and let's talk about it. Like, do you have somewhere that people can do that, or?
I have no problem at all connecting with people through, Instagram. My account is private, just because I'm a teacher and, you know, I don't want, like a student or even a, most of my coworkers for that matter to be looking me up. But, you know, as far as other Jimmy Buffett fans and things like that, you know, I could probably see, you know, in their pictures, you know, maybe what they're into, or if they want to message me to connect that way, I'm down with that as well.
Yeah. And what's your handle?
It is CL_Adams.
Okay, cool. And I'll post that too. And yeah, maybe anyone, if you feel like you want to connect with Lee, send him a message, like request the permission to follow or whatever it is. Yeah. But and then send him a message and be like, hey, I heard you on the Blame It on Buffett podcast. Like, I'd like to be able to chat Jimmy Buffett with you or whatever the thing is, just so that he knows. Because yeah, I know, like, this is also just for anyone listening. If you follow me and your account is private, I don't necessarily follow you back because I don't want to like request to be able to see your private account, you know? So if anyone is listening, follows me on Instagram and has a private account, if you want me to follow you back, just message and be like, hey, I just followed you. And like, if you follow me back, I'll, you know, approve it or whatever. Cause I don't want to be like, hey, can I see your account? But yeah, so just send him a message to let him know that you, that's why you're requesting the follow. So that, cause I totally get my, actually my husband used to be a high school English teacher, before the job that he does now. So I understand, like, you don't want everybody to see in your, your private posts and everything. So awesome. Well, thank you so much for being on. I had such a great time talking to you. And like I said, it's so fun to hear from someone that is a, you know, pretty much brand new Jimmy Buffett fan. You don't see those as much. And most of the people I talk to are older, more longtime fans. And so, you know, we're kind of just like, yeah, Jimmy Buffett's great. But it's really fun to hear the perspective of somebody that is just learning about him. So I really appreciate you taking the time to be on the podcast.
Well, thanks for having me on. I've really enjoyed it.
Awesome. Thanks so much. And yeah, anytime you want to talk about Jimmy Buffett, like feel free to message me because, you know, I'm always happy to talk about Jimmy Buffett.
I'll do that. Yeah.
All right. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too.
Okay, so I hope that you enjoyed that little chat with Lee. Like I said, it's kind of cool. I wanted him to come on, A, because of his story. I thought he could tell it better than me, which you heard. And then also just because I think it just is something a little different than my usual interviews with Buffett fans, because usually they're all, you know, have been Buffett fans for a really long time, like me. And, which is also awesome. I love talking to those people, of course, but it was just really interesting to talk about what it's like to be a new Jimmy Buffett fan, you know? So yeah, that was a really fun time. And, if you're a new Buffett fan or an old Buffett fan or whatever, you can reach out to him, like he mentioned, or reach out to me, which you can do at any time if you have thoughts or comments, or just, you know, really anything. And you can find me at Blame Buffett Pod on Twitter and Instagram, and Facebook, or you can search for Blame It on Buffett Podcast on Facebook, and or you can email me at blameitonbuffettpodcast@gmail.com. So yeah, feel free to reach out if you want. And I'm always happy to hear your stories or what you thought of the podcast. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, if you want to leave a review, that's really awesome. I super appreciate that. You can just do a star review, which literally just like hit the stars. It takes 2 seconds. Or you can leave a comment, which is awesome. And that just helps it be more visual to people who are searching and stuff. So the more reviews and things it has. So I really appreciate that. I've said appreciate a lot of times, but I do appreciate you all so much for listening. And if you're not listening to this on Tiki Man Radio, you could be Monday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern. The show, whatever the new episode is, or if there isn't a new episode, we're just going to air one of my older episodes, will be playing on Tiki Man Radio. So go over there, check that out, tikimanradio.com, or there's an app you can download. So that's really exciting. And thanks again to Danny for putting me on the radio, just like my old college days. I mean, that was an actual radio show, but yeah. And then also, I should do this every episode, but sometimes I forget. A shout out, as always, to Kelly Maguire for being kind of the godfather of this podcast. He let me use his song name. He let me use the actual song for my intro music. He's very supportive. Was my first episode. So thanks, Kelly. You're the best. And if you don't know who Kelly Maguire is, his song is this music for this podcast. So you can go search and check out more of his music that way. And then just finally, before we go, I wanted to make sure to mention Back to the Island Society, which is coming soon. It's going to be a Jimmy Buffett club, kind of focused on old vintage Jimmy and just really Jimmy Buffett focused, and going to be a charity element, like especially Jimmy Buffett's charities we're going to try and support. But yeah, we have some really cool stuff, some cool t-shirts that are going to be available in the shop and some cool swag that you'll get if you join as a member. So just go to backtotheisland.org, not .com, .org, and put your email in if you want to sign up for emails and announcements. And the website is not live for memberships yet, but hopefully soon. So go to backtotheisland.org. If you're interested, and you'll get more information once that is ready to accept memberships from the general public. And we would love to have you. We're pretty excited about it. So I think that is all for this episode. Another week in the books for Blame It on Buffett. And I think hopefully, unless scheduling issues happen, we're going to have Danny Hoy next week as the guest. So that will be fun. So yeah, tune in next time. And until then, just remember, if anything's going to happen, it's going to happen out there.
Blame it on Buffett. He was my hero.